ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You know, they had some wacky interpretations of the Scriptures. So what you have to do is you have to take everything that man says and apply it to the Word of God. I don't care how early of a church father they were. We have the Word of God, it's truth. And I think this is a beautiful picture of the blood of Christ saving this woman and her family. The Hebrew word for line there in Joshua chapter 2, it's first used here in Joshua, and all the other times it's used in Scripture, it's kind of interesting. It's not translated line, it's translated hope. In other words, it is the scarlet hope that saves us, saves sinners. Apart from the blood, there is only judgment, but we have hope that His blood cleanses us from all our sins, right? You know, John tells us in Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There he is. That's our hope. Our hope is in Jesus. His shed blood on the cross of Calvary to pay in full the penalty for our sins. He took the judgment that was due us. So God is not going to judge us again because judgment was already placed upon Him. Dr. W.A. Griswold wrote this, Rahab the harlot is an example of the grace of God at work. Her salvation was not based on her character or merits. She lived in a doomed city, practiced a condemned profession, engaged in subversive activities, and falsified, lied about her actions. Nevertheless, she acted upon faith and was spared the judgment of God, which was executed at the hands of the Israelites. Now, placing the scarlet cord in the window, or the scarlet thread, was this a work salvation on her part? No. It was her faith that caused her to act and place the scarlet line or hope in the window, so the invading army could see it. Also, we see her love for her family is so strong that she is going to bring them into her home under the protection of the blood. You hear that? Oh, just put a scarlet cord in your window. Well, that's ridiculous. That's the most foolish thing. Well, let's bring it into our day. You just need to ask Jesus to cleanse you of your sins. Repent and ask Him to be Lord and Savior of your life, and His blood will wash you as white as snow. That is the most foolish thing I've ever heard. How could that happen? It did. Remember in the wilderness when the children of Israel, they were complaining and God brought judgment upon them, and Moses interceded and God told Moses, look, make a serpent, put it on a pole, and when these people get bitten by those poisonous snakes, if they look to that serpent on the pole, they will be saved. If they don't, they're going to die. Now think about it. Here you are. You get bit by the snake. I need a medic. I don't need to look at some ridiculous serpent on a pole to save me. I need someone who could really help. Someone who has a degree. And those people died. But all who looked to that serpent on the pole by faith lived. And Jesus in the New Testament said He was the one who was judged for our sins, and all who look to Him will be saved. As ridiculous as that sounds, we're saved by the blood of Christ cleansing us from all her sins. And for Rahab, it's really simple faith. Obeying what these men told her and believing it by faith. Sometimes we try to, again, figure things out. We try to make it so, we try to rationalize it in our mind. How can this be? And there are other things, you know, we look to people to help us. But we don't think about looking to the Lord to help us. Have you ever thought about that? You know, in other parts of the world where they have nothing, Absolutely nothing. And when something happens in their life, they can only bring it before the Lord in prayer. We see God do amazing things. But in this country, you know, something breaks down, get out the credit card, at least we've got a new one. I don't have to pray about it, I just got to buy it. We don't even think about praying about it. We just act. But I wonder what God would do if we started to pray about it. Who knows? What seems impossible for man is very possible with God. This whole idea of the blood of Christ cleansing us from our sins, if we appropriate it into our lives by faith, is starting to be put down within the Christian church. And I use the term Christian church loosely. Because if you deny the blood atonement, you are not a believer. But they see this as horrible. Sin is horrible, guys. And God had to become flesh and dwell among us and go to the cross of Calvary to pay in full that penalty, something we can never do. But what the church has said now is, hey, forget about that. That is just horrible. Now you just be good enough. It's more of a social justice thing. You know, we hear a lot about that in the secular world, but it's coming into the church. You just got to treat people nicely. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to accept everyone. And you're saved. That's what a real believer is. No, a real believer is one who says, I can't do anything to be saved. Lord Jesus, save me, a sinner. And he does. And it's out of that that we minister to people. We've put the cart in front of the horse. Or as I said, I think it was on Thursday, we've got the horse in the cart now. It's crazy. What did Jesus say is about to give up his spirit? He said, tetelestai in the Greek, paid in full. It is finished. What's finished? The work of redemption. It's completed. Again, I don't understand how some people feel, yes, you need the blood of Jesus, but then you have to, and you can put whatever you want in there, dash, 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 or dot, 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 I should say. Put whatever you want in there. You got to be good enough. You got to do this. You got to go to church. You got to give tithes. You got to do that. You got to do this. No. Paid in full. It's completed. And the work that God has done in you will be manifested outwardly. What we try to do is be good outwardly with God working in us. And it never happens. It never works. Because someone will always push that button. Someone will always do something. And we respond. But as a Christian, can that happen? Yeah, it can, but we have the option or the ability to pray, Lord, help me not to say the wrong thing. Help me not to do the wrong thing. See, what God is working on the inside is manifested outwardly. For those that aren't saved, inside are dead men's bones. It's like a grave. It's like a tomb. There's no life there because they aren't born again. That's the problem. Paul in Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15 said, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. We're all spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins before we came to Christ. We weren't sick in need of a doctor, guys. We were dead in need of a Savior, in need of Jesus. And God stepped in. He paid in full the penalty for our sins, and he brought our spirits back to life so we could have fellowship with him once again. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I like the way the Living Bible puts it. It says, come, let us talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. Wow. Have you ever had your clothes stained with something and you tried getting the stain out and you just couldn't do it? And maybe it's just me. I don't have the right chemicals to get it out. But yeah, I've had issues with stains and they're there. They're not coming out. That's how some people feel about their sins. Well, this is the one that you know, God can't forgive me. I've passed that mark. He can't forgive me. I've gone too far. But again, what does it say? Come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I could take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. You see, it doesn't matter how bad your sins are. God can forgive you, but you have to come to Him, because apart from Him, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. But this is a rational choice. Come, let us reason together. Let's think this over. You weigh your life over here in the balances of God. Put all your sins there. It's going to take you a while. And then put Jesus on the other side, and He pays the price. He's taking care of them all. In fact, when Jesus is on the scale, it flips those sins out of there, and they can't find them anymore because they've been cast as far as the east is from the west. See, He's our only hope. Or we could say He's our scarlet hope, right? He forgave all our transgressions, all our sins. And when Paul says, having forgiven, the Greek word comes, it's a verb form of the ancient Greek word charis, or grace. We are saved by grace through faith, not by the law through works. You see, grace is simple. It's something we don't deserve. So if you add anything to grace, if you add works to it, we deserve it. But no, we don't. And there in Colossians 2, Paul speaks of this handwriting of requirements. And what that was the debt a person owed. You committed a crime, you're in prison, you're in jail, right? And here's the paperwork. You stole this, you took this, you did that, whatever. There may be several on that piece of paper. And you did your time in prison or jail. Now it's time to be released. How can I show people, look, I didn't escape. I'm free. I paid my due. Because on that piece of paper is marked tetelestai, paid in full. So you're out on the street, and your friend Bob says, hey, what are you doing out here? I thought you were in jail. Oh, no. Look, paid in full. Now, what did Jesus do? He wiped away the handwriting of requirements because He paid in full our sins. He's taken them all away. Tetelestai, He said. And I realize people say, well, yeah, but what about this sin? Tetelestai. You know, it doesn't say tetelestai, but it says tetelestai, paid in full. And here was this woman, not a good woman, prostitute, worshiping false gods, but she comes to saving faith in Jesus, or in the God of Israel, not Jesus yet. And she's saved from this coming judgment. It's amazing grace. It's the scarlet hope. Well, look at verse 20 here in Joshua chapter 3. We probably never thought we'd get there, but we are. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear. This is kind of silence. Don't say anything. Don't tell anyone. Well, that's kind of strange. Why in the world does the Lord, through these men, tell Rahab not to say anything to the people of Jericho? Doesn't God want all to be saved? We see it in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why was Rahab told not to spread the word and get others to place a scarlet cord in their window so they could escape the judgment of God? Because they already heard about the God of Israel. They heard of His great power, and it didn't move them. They were terrified, they were fearful, but they didn't turn to the Savior. They were indifferent to God. And thus they were going to face the judgment of God. The day of grace, you might say, was over. You know, in the New Testament, and we've talked about this already, Jesus called it the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that unpardonable sin. And I think here's a picture again of that. We, again, like I said, talked about it. But they had hardened their hearts so much that they passed the point of spiritual no return. They could no longer get saved, and judgment was coming. William Hendrickson put it like this. He said, their sin is unpardonable because they are unwilling to tread the path that leads to pardon. For a thief, an adulterer, and a murderer, there is hope. The message of the gospel may cause him to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But when a man has become hardened so that he has made up his mind not to pay attention to the Spirit, he has placed himself on the road that leads to perdition. Absolutely. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:2 said, "In acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Again, don't pass the day up. You don't know how long you have, and you don't want to miss out on this gift that God has given to you and spend eternity apart from him in hell. We're living in a day of grace, though. And the Bible says we're not to be silent about it. We are to tell people about Jesus. We're to boldly proclaim the gospel message. Paul said in Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, we need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ because the judgment of God is coming. The day of grace is still here right now. But boy, you look at the things that are going on in this world. You know, as I'm working to put the prophecy update for New Year's Eve, our New Year's Eve study together, it's amazing when you look at all the things that are happening in the world as related to Bible prophecy. I mean, you see that, you know, the world is moving quickly to one world government. One world religion, I never thought I'd see it happen this fast. But I see the church moving away from the Word of God that has caused them to embrace all kinds of false teaching and false doctrine. They're partnering with people that aren't even Christians. They call the Pope a great man of God. Well, a great man of God doesn't lead you into a false gospel. I'm sorry. And you look at what's going on in the Middle East. They're preparing for war, guys. You don't hear a lot about it on the regular news, but they are preparing for war in the Middle East. Damascus is going to be toast. It's going to be wiped out. And could that be the hook that draws Russia and the other Muslim nations into battle against Israel that we read of in Ezekiel 38 and 39? It's possible. We're close. When you look at artificial intelligence and you read of what some of these people who are in this business, they're terrified of artificial intelligence because they think of the movie Terminator. And they feel that once this artificial intelligence can start thinking on their own, there's no stopping it. And it will put us in subjection to them. Terminator. Interesting times. We are living in a day where we can share the gospel. And it's sad to say people start freaking out. Christians start freaking out. Oh, they're taking this away. They're taking that away. You know, years ago, people were saying, why are you putting up a radio station? They're going to shut down the airwaves. And my feeling was, hey, if we're on a year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever we're on, praise the Lord. I don't care. God knows. If God is for us, who could be against us? You know, do you really think the early church was like, oh no, what are we going to do now? No, the early church is, and you read the book of Acts, Lord, give us boldness. They were just persecuted. Lord, give us boldness to proclaim your word. Don't make us afraid. Give us boldness. That's what we need. Not to be fearful. God could do whatever he wants. And that's the wonderful thing. For Rahab, she trusted in this, the God of Israel. We need to do that. Well, let's finish up. Look at verse 21. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Rahab was told to place the scarlet cord in the window. And what does she do? Are you kidding me? That's what you're going to do? Don't you want me to put a big poster? Don't kill me? No, just put a scarlet cord, the scarlet hope in the window, and you will be saved. And by faith, she did it. Yeah, it probably seemed foolish to others, but she did it. Warren Wiersbe put it like this. He said, it's important to note that Rahab and her family were saved by faith in the God of Israel and not by faith in the rope hanging out the window. The fact that she hung the rope from the window was proof that she had faith. Just as the blood of the slain lamb put on the doorpost in Egypt proved that the Jews believed God's word. Faith in the living God means salvation, and faith in his covenant gives us assurance. But faith in the token of the covenant is religious superstition, and give neither salvation nor assurance. The Jews depended on circumcision to save them, but they ignored the true spiritual meaning of that important rite. Many people today depend for their salvation on their baptism or their participation in the Lord's table, but this kind of faith is vain. How true that is, man. Where is your faith? What is it in? I mean, is it in a church? Is it in a denomination? Is it in some book or some ritual, sacraments? Your faith has to be in the scarlet hope. It has to be in Jesus Christ, or your faith is empty. Now, Peter said in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. None. That's why when people say all roads lead to God, I'm like, have you read the Bible? I mean, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. How could all roads lead to God? They don't. Tony Campolo believes that all roads lead to God. I've heard him years ago when I was a young Christian speak at Willow Creek. Dynamic speaker, just a false teacher. False doctrine he brings forth. And he's at a Christian school teaching other kids who will be in ministry that you don't have to believe in the blood atonement. All roads lead to God. He teaches a social justice. No. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. What's amazing to me is they deny the things that Jesus says, right? They deny his word, and yet they still want to call themselves Christians. It means a Christ follower. They're not following Christ. How sad. If you want to know where to go, you have to follow Jesus. Because he's the one who gives us eternal life. He's the truth. He's the way. There is no other way. He's the scarlet cord or the scarlet hope. We sing a song at church, and we sing it often, and boy, it's rich and deep. It's called, Are You Washed in the Blood? And I'm not going to sing it because that would just, your ears would bleed probably. But listen to the words because they're powerful. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. Are we washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or do we think that we're saved because we're good enough or we've done this? Or it's only being washed in the blood of the Lamb. I thank God for that. And if you're not absolutely sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven, then you need to get right with your Maker. You need to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins and be Lord and Savior of my life. I don't want to go on living this kind of life because it's a mess. It's out of control, and I try to keep fixing it, and I keep messing up on it, and I need you. And you know what? You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're a child of God. But what do I have to do? You have to repent of your sins and ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life, right? It's as simple as that. And for us that are believers that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we should be rejoicing. People should see our lives and see, wow, man, something's different going on with you. I don't know what it is, but you're kind of weird. And that's okay. That's a good weird, right? Because there's that joy that comes from knowing Jesus. The joy that's it's from inside. And it just flows then from our lives and it touches those around us. We bless people. You know, I met a guy at, we were driving home from my granddaughter's birthday party yesterday, and stopped at McDonald's halfway because I was beat. And if I put food in my mouth, it tends to keep me awake because at least I'm doing something, you know. So we stopped there. And I'll tell you what, this guy behind the counter was the nicest guy in the world. There's something different about him. That's what people should see in us. There's something different. We have a relationship with Jesus. And what a gift he has given to us. He's our scarlet hope, guys. And we don't display a scarlet cord in the window. It's not our bumper stickers or our t-shirts or the big King James Bible we carry or whatever. It's Christ living in us. What do people see? What are they drawn to? May they see Jesus, right? Our scarlet hope. Let's pray.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.